Easter Sunday, Resurrection Sunday, but as it is for everyone, this is an unusual Easter Sunday. This should be probably the loudest, most ruckus, most exciting Sunday to gather together for worship, but with a handful of people in the sanctuary, it's the quietest Easter Sunday I have ever been a part of. So hopefully, as you are home celebrating, worshiping, you will remember why we gather to worship today, that we have reason to celebrate, and that our Lord is alive, the tomb is empty, our Lord is risen. So let us pray and we will continue. Jesus, we praise you. We thank you for the work that you have done on the cross, and we thank you for your resurrection, that you have overcome sin and death, that we can come together because of you. So Lord, we praise you, we give glory and honor to you, for you alone deserve it. And Lord, we gather together, not physically in each other's presence, but we gather virtually to worship you. So Lord, we ask that you would be with us, that you would speak into lives that may be in chaos because of what is going on around us, lives that are adjusting to a different normal than what we're used to, lives that may be confused and wandering and trying to figure out what is going on and how to make sense of everything, but lives that ultimately need you to make sense of it for us. So Lord, we ask that you would speak to us here in this place. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. It would have been dark that morning when they got up. Verse 1 says, after the Sabbath at dawn on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb. So when they got up, it would have been dark. The two of them would have put their clothes on in the dark and gotten ready, grabbed the spices they needed, and headed out at the crack of dawn. And as they made their way to the tomb, a dark cloud probably hung over their souls. The thoughts and sights of the past week were still fresh in their minds. They were there when the crowds lined the streets yelling, "Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest." When the crowds were laying down branches, welcoming Jesus into Jerusalem as he rode on a donkey. But those memories probably seem so far away now, because they were also there crying and wailing as they watched Jesus, scarred by the whipping, blood dripping from his body, forced to start carrying the cross, the very cross they would kill him on, to Golgotha. And they were there at the foot of the cross, when the male disciples ran and hid in fear. It was the women who were standing at the foot of the cross. And they would have heard Jesus say, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they're doing." They would have heard Jesus cry out, "Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani, my God, why have you forsaken me?" And they were there when Jesus said, "It is finished," and breathed out his last breath. They were there when their Lord died, and a part of them probably died with them. They were there even when the apostles weren't. They'd been there through it all, through the miracles, through the teachings, through the good, and now through the bad. These two Marys had been there through it all. And now on Sunday morning, it was them on their way to the tomb. Their Lord was dead, but not just dead, executed, nailed to a cross, like the worst of criminals a couple of days earlier. The one who had shown them such mercy and love, the one who had taught them so powerfully, now dead in a tomb. And also dead with him, their hopes, their expectations, everything that they had placed on him being their savior, gone. And so as they approached that tomb to pay their respects, they probably came broken and beaten, defeated. The Lord they loved was now holed up dead in a tomb, or at least that's what they would have expected. That's why they were so shocked when they saw the stone covering the tomb had been rolled away. They would have seen this as they were approaching the tomb. They would have seen that giant stone that should have been covering the tomb had been rolled away. A stone that would not be easy to move, a stone that would take several men to move. So who would do such an awful thing? I can only imagine their shock and dismay when they arrived at the tomb and discovered that the body of their Lord, the body that should have been in that tomb, wasn't there. on top of everything they had been through the last few days, on top of everything they had seen, on top of everything that their Lord had suffered, treated like the worst of criminals, executed by those in charge, buried, and now this, his body defiled and removed. Couldn't these people just leave Jesus alone? Couldn't they leave them alone, the ladies alone, to mourn? Couldn't they at least say goodbye to their Lord in peace? Why would someone come and empty the tomb? I imagine all of these thoughts were probably running through their heads as they approached the tomb. How disheartening it must have been to find the empty tomb early that Sunday morning. At least until the angel speaks. Verse 5 tells us that the angel said to the woman, "Do not be afraid." Yeah, right. Yeah, right. After everything that's happened, easy for him to say. But that's exactly what the angel said to them. "Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here. He has risen, just as he said." Maybe they remembered in that moment when they heard those words. Maybe they remembered Jesus saying something about rising from the dead. But how could it be? They saw Jesus die. How could it be? The women went to the tomb hoping to mourn the death of their Lord. Instead, they found no Jesus to mourn. They found no reason to mourn. Instead, they found a reason for joy, for hope. Verse 8 tells us, "So the women hurried away from the tomb, afraid yet filled with joy." I don't know about you, but that sounds odd to me. Afraid yet filled with joy. There's no reason to mourn because their Lord, whom they thought was dead, is risen. He's alive. And with the risen Lord, there is no reason to mourn. There's no reason to fear because Jesus is alive. But I think we know that. But I think that's why the angel says exactly what he says, because there's more to it than just knowing we have no reason to fear. And I think that's why the angel uses these words, picks his words so carefully. "Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified." Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. Even though they saw Jesus crucified, even though they thought that Jesus was still dead, they still went looking for him that morning, early that morning. Even in their darkest hour, they go looking for Jesus. You know who I don't see at the tomb looking for Jesus? I don't see the disciples at the tomb looking for Jesus. And as far as we know, they're still in hiding, afraid of what might happen to them, afraid of what authorities might do with them for following Jesus. They're not looking for Jesus. Their eyes aren't on Jesus. The men are worried about themselves, hiding. But these women venture out early in the morning at the crack of dawn because they're still looking for Jesus. Even though they believe that he's dead, they're still looking for Jesus. For a couple of days, it looked bleak. Their teacher, their master, crucified, dead, and buried. And now, while the men hide, the women go out looking for Jesus. They had no idea that their master was still alive. They went looking for a corpse, but at least they go looking. Their eyes are still on Jesus, still looking towards their Savior. Not towards keeping themselves safe, not towards protecting themselves, but looking towards their Savior. They want to go cover the corpse with spices to pay their respects. They had no idea that the tomb would be wide open and that they would be greeted by an angel with the good news that Jesus was alive. They went to pay respects to Jesus' dead body, sprinkle spices on it. But they're still looking for Jesus. And even after the angel spoke to them and says, verse 5 to 7, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here. He has risen, just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples. He has risen from the dead and is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him." They heard the words from the angel, but I don't think they fully understood. I don't think they fully understood what was going on. They still hadn't seen Jesus to this point. Yet the women know that something is different. The women know in their hearts that something is different. Maybe it was because they felt they could trust the angel. We don't know. But they know that something is different. And so verse 8 tells us, so the women hurried away from the tomb, afraid, yet filled with joy, and ran to tell the disciples. They're afraid. They haven't seen Jesus. They've seen an angel, or what they believe to be an angel, who says, don't be afraid. But that fear is still there. Yet in the midst of that fear is still the joy of what the angel has said to them. That Jesus is risen, that Jesus is alive. In the midst of that fear is still joy. In the midst of that fear, they're still filled with joy. And they trust the words of the angel enough to run and tell the disciples. And I think there's a lesson there for us, especially in these uncertain times. We need to keep our eyes on Jesus. We need to keep seeking Jesus during these difficult times. Because when we seek Jesus, it doesn't mean that the fear is all gone. The fear can still be there. But in the midst of that fear is the joy of knowing that Christ is with us. When we seek Jesus, it doesn't mean that Jesus comes and makes everything okay. It doesn't mean that Jesus comes and takes care of everything and our life is going to be easy. Even though we know we shouldn't be afraid, when we seek Jesus, fear can still be there. But in the midst of that fear, when our eyes are on Jesus, there's joy. There's joy because in the midst of that fear, we know that Christ has already won the battle. He's already conquered sin and death and COVID-19. It may not look like it to us, but we know it. The angel said it to the women at the tomb. Christ says it to us. He has conquered sin and death and COVID-19. We don't need to be afraid. But in the midst, if we are still afraid, there's still the joy of knowing that Christ is with us. We don't need to be afraid. But there is still joy when we are. But I think a lot of times that fear creeps in because our eyes aren't fixed on Jesus. I think a lot of times that fear creeps in because we're looking at the things around us. We're looking at people and things, the medical doctors, the experts telling us what's going on or what we can expect. Instead of looking at Jesus, who tells us what we know we can expect. Instead of looking at Jesus, who tells us he's conquered sin and death and everything else. That's why we need to keep our eyes on Jesus. Because when we keep our eyes on Jesus, we're not afraid to step out in faith. When we keep our eyes on Jesus, even though we may still have fear in us, there's still the joy of knowing that Jesus has conquered it all. That Jesus has done all the work for us. And because he is alive, because he is resurrected from the dead, he has the final say on it. Keeping our eyes on Jesus doesn't mean that all fear will suddenly be gone. But it does mean that we don't need to be afraid because he's already conquered it all for us. But let's face it, reality is we're people and sinful people at that. So even though we don't need to be afraid when we seek Jesus, I think the human part of us kicks in and the fear may still be there. The fear of the unknown, the fear of disease, of death, of being alone, of being isolated. The fear may still be there. It was for the women. But also, with the fear is joy of knowing Jesus. Knowing that this life isn't it. That there's more after this life. Joy knowing that no matter how tough life gets, no matter how much pain and suffering we endure, the one whom we seek, the one who went before us, the one who died on the cross for us and is now resurrected and alive, that the tomb is empty, the one who himself suffered and endured unimaginable pain for you and me, he is alive and he is with us. So while that fear may still creep in once in a while, we have the joy of knowing Christ has conquered sin and death and COVID-19 and everything else. We have the joy of knowing we don't need to be afraid. But even if there are times when we are afraid, even if there are times when fear creeps in, even when we have our eyes fixed on Jesus, there's still the joy of knowing that Christ has already finished everything. He's won the battle, he's won the war, and is done because our Lord is risen. He is resurrected, the tomb is now empty, and Jesus has the final word. We don't need to be afraid because Christ is alive. But the Apostle John also teaches us what happens when we take our eyes off of Jesus. When we stop searching for Jesus and we turn our eyes to other things, John gives us a small glimpse of what that looks like. I think that's what the male disciples did. They ran and hid when Jesus was crucified. And again, they're still hiding because they've taken their eyes off Jesus. And likewise, when we take our eyes off Jesus, whether it's in the midst of COVID-19, whether it's in the midst of pain and suffering, the loss of loved ones, whether it's in the midst of struggling through school or struggling to find a job or losing a job, when we take our eyes off Jesus in the midst of the worries of this world, that's when we become overcome with fear. Fear of what may happen to us. Fear of the unknown. Fear of how things are out of control in our lives and how we have no control over anything. Worrying about what might happen to us down the road. What someone or something might do to us, or what someone or someone might say about us. We worry about a little bit down the road instead of looking to the end and seeing that the war has been won by Jesus when we take our eyes off him. And I think that's what the disciples did. And because of their fear, they hid. John 20:19 tells us, on the evening of that first day of the week, when the disciples were together with the doors locked for fear of the Jewish leaders, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." The disciples are hiding in fear. They're hiding together, but in fear, with the doors locked for fear of the Jewish leaders. And when Jesus shows up, the first thing he says to them is, "Peace be with you." Because as they're looking at their circumstances, as they're looking at what's going on around them, and as they're looking at the events that have happened the past few days, they're overcome with fear. And that's why Jesus comes and needs to say to them, "Peace be with you." This is the first time they're seeing Jesus. The disciples are seeing Jesus after he's resurrected. And they're still scared, hiding out together. They've taken their eyes off Jesus. They've run and they've hid, fearing for their lives. And so Jesus comes and says to them, "Peace be with you." A peace that they would have known had they kept their eyes on Jesus. A peace that they probably would have moved them to act, like it moved the women to act, to go looking for Jesus early in that morning. Yet because the fear has overcome them, there's a lack of peace in them. And so when Jesus comes, the first thing he needs to say to them is, "Peace be with you." That's what happens when we take our eyes off of Jesus. When we start looking at the things around us, when we start looking at people instead of Jesus, we get overcome with fear. We get angry. We get anxious. We get depressed. Yet that's when Christ says to us, "Peace be with you." That's when we, more than any other time, need to turn our eyes back to Jesus. Because while we are still afraid, we can still have the joy of knowing that Christ has conquered everything. That Christ has conquered sin and death, and that he is alive, that he has risen from the dead, and he is alive in heaven. I know that this is a very different world that we live in right now. We're not allowed to gather together with friends, even with family. We're told to stay home. People are working from home. People have lost jobs. Kids are at home supposedly learning. I found out that kids actually only spend about, well, kids my kids' age only spend about an hour a day at school actually learning. The rest of the time, I guess, is spent playing. And all this time, I thought they actually spent like 5.5 hours at school learning, but foolish me. And no one knows when all of this is going to end. We don't know when all of this is going to end. The doctors, the politicians, they keep coming up with ideas and saying things. Some people saying they wanted to lift the ban by Easter, which is now. Others saying the ban's going to stay in place for another month or a few months. Some saying 18 months, 24 months. Others saying this is going to be the new normal until a vaccine is made, and who knows when that is. We don't know when this is going to end. We don't know what lies ahead, how long this is going to take, how different things are going to be in a week, 6 weeks, 6 months, let alone in a year and a year and a half. We don't know if things are going to get worse or how much worse they're going to get before things get better. We don't know if things are going to get better next week. We don't know any of this. But through all this, we know the one who knows us. We know the one who's conquered sin and death and COVID-19 already. And so we don't need to be afraid. We don't need to look at the things around us and be afraid. We need to look at Jesus and find our joy in him. I remember when my oldest nephew, I think he was probably about 3 or 4, he came to, we were all visiting my dad, my parents at their house, and we're in the main, on the main floor, and in the basement was where all of my old toys were. And my nephew knew that all of my old toys were in the basement, and he wanted to go dig out all my old toys. So he kept wanting to go to the basement, so he would go stand at the basement door, open the door, and look down. But it was dark. It was scary. It was cold. He didn't want to go by himself. So I'd go tell him, I'll turn the light on, you can go down. And he still wouldn't go down. But he would grab my hand, and he would start dragging me down. I hadn't even had a chance to turn the light on, and he would grab my hand and start dragging me down. And that's when I realized, for him, it's not about knowing everything down there is safe. It's not about being able to see that there's no monsters or scary things down there. It's about knowing that the one he is with will take care of him, regardless of what is down there. I don't know why he thought I could take care of him. Maybe because I was still big back then. He thought I could take care of anything that came up. But he had confidence that I could take care of any problem that we might run across down there. Little does he know that I was scared of the dark and I had to turn on all the lights to go down there with him. But he had full confidence in me. And that's how it should be for us. We don't know what's ahead. We don't know how long this is going to last. We don't know what's going to come of it. But we know the one we are with, who has us in his hands. He is the one who is resurrected, who is risen, and we celebrate his resurrection today. And because we know the one who is with us and has us in his hands, we don't need to be afraid. We don't need to worry. Because he's conquered sin and death, he's conquered it all. But maybe we know that, but there's still a little bit of fear in us. Fear of the unknown. Fear of uncertainty. And even then, Jesus, knowing how weak and fragile we are, even then, in the midst of that fear, it's possible for us to have joy. The joy of knowing that Christ is with us. The joy of knowing that Christ is alive and well, that he is resurrected from the dead, that the tomb is now empty. And because he is with us, we don't need to worry. Because he is with us, we can overcome anything that comes our way. Because Christ is alive. That is why we celebrate. We celebrate our resurrected and risen Lord today. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, we celebrate because you have done all the work for us. We don't need to do the work anymore because you've done the work for us. But we need to trust you and follow you. We need to keep our eyes on you because we see what happens when we take our eyes off of you. When we take our eyes off of you, we get scared. We start to panic. We get anxious. But when our eyes are on you, even in the midst of that fear, there's joy. The joy of knowing that you have conquered sin and death and COVID-19 and everything else. That you have won. That you have won this war. That you are resurrected. That you are alive and the tomb is empty. So Lord, we thank you. Jesus, we thank you. We thank you for the work that you have done. We thank you that because of the work you have done, we are free. Free to worship you. Free to celebrate you. Free to rejoice with you. Free. Free that we can be free of the fear of the things around us, because you are with us, because you will take care of us, because you will walk with us and talk with us and be with us every step of the way. So Jesus, we thank you, we praise you, and we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.